The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, right here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard, your gaming capital. And, of course, we're on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming network to where you can see and hear us now on YouTube. Just go there, put in South Point Studios at the search bar, and you'll get us. You'll see us. You'll hear us. And while you're there, if you're doing it for the first time, please go ahead and subscribe. It is free. There's no charge to it. We just want to know who's out there and what's going on. So do the subscription, if you would, please. For us, for you, too. And, of course, all the other formats we have and all the other platforms that we have. And, of course, if you're running around town here in Las Vegas, you might be listening to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM. And 107.1 FM here in Vegas. And, of course, on the internet, how about the racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global websites. You can get us there, as well as on your devices, your iPhones, your Androids. You can get the KSHP app for your devices if you want to listen to us. You get the YouTube app for your devices if you want to listen and watch us. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show. It's Preakness Week. We got a lot of breaking news for you coming up in just a moment, but we want to just set the table for you on Preakness Week. What we're going to do on our shows this week, on our morning shows, we won't have an afternoon special as we did for the Kentucky Derby. On our morning shows, on Friday, Black Eyed Susan's Day, we'll not only go over the Black Eyed Susan's race itself, but the five other stakes races on the six stakes race card for Friday. Ditto for Saturday, doing the same thing. At Pimlico, there'll be nine stakes races on Saturday, of course, highlighted by the Preakness Stakes, middle jewel of the Triple Crown. We'll be doing that as well. We'll have Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo doing what they did for the special show before the Kentucky Oaks and Derby. We'll be doing that on our morning shows on Friday and Saturday, so make sure you tune in with us then, that's for sure. And as far as coverage for the Preakness Stakes, well, NBC's got it covered with all of their stations and formats and streaming. There'll be plenty of coverage on the Peacock streaming network, CNBC, as well as NBC for the big race Preakness. Now, we got to find out what the weather is going to be, right? Because here, right now, here in Vegas, it's beautiful out. We're going to get into the 90s today. It's about 60-something degrees out right now, and it's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. But we are not running the Preakness here, as you know, live here. So what are we doing for the 10-day out forecast for Baltimore, Maryland, where, of course, Pimlico Racecourse is located? Tomorrow, 6% chance of rain. Then we get into Friday, Black Eyed Susan's Day, mostly cloudy, and another 6% chance of rain with a little wind. But that front is going to move throughout the day and in the evening of Black Eyed Susan's Day on Friday. By Saturday, Preakness Day, it's going to rain in Baltimore. 87% chance of precipitation, and the winds are going to be low, eastward winds 10 miles per hour. But it will be raining at Pimlico. Of course, if Mother Nature has anything to do with it, and certainly if the weathermen are as right as our handicappers, it'll be raining on that weekend coming up, that at Baltimore. So we will wait and see about that. And, of course, the rain will continue on Sunday there with showers, etc. But right now we're concentrating on Friday and Saturday there at Baltimore, okay? And so now comes the late breaking news. You remember Muth was the early future book favorite in the Preakness Parimutuel future book pool. He was installed the favorite when they took entries on Monday for the Preakness. Nine horses were entered for the Preakness on Monday. We'll get to that field in just a moment. But in the Preakness, Muth, the winner of the Arkansas Derby, prevented from going into the Kentucky Derby because he was trained by Bob Baffert, but allowed to go in the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes coming up on Saturday, has been training in Southern California, shipped out to Baltimore for the race at Pimlico on Saturday, got off the plane and the off the van, settled into the stable area there at Pimlico, and then he spiked a fever. He spiked a fever the next morning at Pimlico. Muth has spiked a fever. They said Tuesday night, the temperature was 103, so that meant he had to be scratched. Muth has been scratched for the Preakness Stakes due to a fever, all right? All that Bob Baffert could say after finding out this information, he said they're sick about this. The horse had been doing really well, but we have to do what's right by the horse, and so Muth will be scratched, is scratched from the Preakness Stakes. Now, what do we have left for the Preakness Stakes? Well, here's what we got left. It's a $2 million race, mile and 3/16, 1/16 shorter than the Kentucky Derby. It's, of course, on the main track. The main track has got to be off, maybe as much as muddy or sloppy by the time they run the Preakness on Saturday. And here's the field now. Number one is Mugatu. This, of course, Joe Bravo will ride for Jeff Egler. And this was the horse that was on the cusp of getting into the Kentucky Derby but didn't make the field. So he's going in the Preakness. He draws post one. Number two is Uncle Heavy. Irad Ortiz Jr. has been assigned to ride the Robert E. Reed Jr. Long shot there. Number three is Catching Freedom. You remember, this is the horse that ran fourth in the Kentucky Derby. And now only three horses from the entire 20-horse field in the Kentucky Derby move on to the Preakness. This is one of them. Flavian Pratt will now ride again for Brad Cox. Number four was to be Muth. Muth was going to break from four. He scratched. Muth is scratched. The 8-5 morning line favorite in the Preakness has been scratched. The five, Mystic Dan. So Mystic Dan, the Kentucky Derby winner, would have broke right next to Muth in the starting gate. But no mouse now, okay? Mystic Dan, of course, will get the Brian Hernandez Jr. back for Kenny McPeak. He's the only horse now that has an opportunity to win the Triple Crown this year. They're going to the Preakness, 5-2 on the morning line. That'll be adjusted. He'll be the favorite now, sure, on the morning line for the Preakness. He'll break from post, I would believe, now number four, but he will have a saddle cloth number and bet number five. Number six is Seize the Gray. This is the horse that won the Pat Day Mile on the undercard on the Kentucky Derby Day. This, the connection said that they were trying to get into the Kentucky Derby with this horse as well, but couldn't get in. Wins the Pat Day on the undercard, now on to Preakness. Seize the Gray. Jamie Torres will ride for D. Wayne Lucas. Number seven is Just Steel. This is a horse who ran up the track in the Kentucky Derby. Joel Rosario will now ride for trainer D. Wayne Lucas. So the coach will have two horses. They'll break side by side in the Preakness Stakes. The eight horse is Tuscan Gold. This is trained by Chad Brown. Tyler Gaffleone will ride. And a lot of people, this is a son of Medaglia d'Oro. And you know, Medaglia d'Oro offspring like the offgoing. A lot of people like this horse, Tuscan Gold, in the Preakness. And the nine will be Imagination. This is the horse that ran second in a photo finish to Stronghold in the Santa Anita Derby. He is trained by Bob Baffert. He will be ridden by Frankie Dettori again. And now he becomes Bob Baffert's only shot for the Preakness Stakes. Those are the horses for the Preakness. And a big, big news item this morning, Muth has been scratched. All righty. Now it's time to get started on our Wednesday show. We got Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Rich Engel check in. John Lendo will be along with us, and so will Jerry Jackowitz. And so without any further ado, time to go to our first break on the Race Day Show for this Wednesday as we ramp it up Preakness Week right here at the South Point Studios. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sports book and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program, I can tell you this, the weather is going to be beautiful here. We're now in the middle of May, and, you know, we're going to get into that summer type weather going on. Right now outside, it's 74 degrees. We're going to get up to 94 today, and throughout the week, we're going to start flirting with the high 90s, and we'll wait and see what day is the day this year that we get to the first 100-degree weather. But it's going to be beautiful, so if you're making plans on coming out to enjoy the Preakness with us here at the South Point, it'll be great weather to do a little poolside action as well. That's the weather here for Las Vegas, Nevada. As far as the weather around the country today, all I can tell you is all the action is going on in the Northeast. You got rain through eastern Pennsylvania, all through New Jersey and New York. Yep, folks, it's raining in New York. No racing today at Aqueduct, but it is raining in New York right now. As a matter of fact, going south, further south on the East Coast, Florida is getting rain, and they're getting some tornado warnings in Florida today. Wow. West Coast is clear, but no racing there. Gulf Coast is clear as well, and for the most part, for the rest of the country, just a little bit here or there with rainstorms, but nothing really to talk about there. So let's get started with the racing menu, as short as it is today. This racing menu, we remind you that the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. Because these will be the first post times that roll out on our racebook right behind the studio here at the South Point. We are in the Pacific time zone. First post times as they roll out in the books. If you're listening, however, in all the different formats and platforms that we have around the world, we know you're in different time zones. So make sure you adjust to the Pacific time zone from wherever you're at so you won't miss anything. Don't want you to miss getting an opportunity to make some money. Don't want you to miss anything like I miss mom and dad, okay? Here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Belterra Park. Now, Belterra Park's got a first post time of 9:15. 9:15 today at Belterra. Delaware Park, which is right there where some of the rain might be there and on the East Coast. Delaware Park has a first post time of 9:30. 9:30 at Delaware Park. Next comes Finger Lakes, upstate New York. Finger Lakes first post time is 10:15. 10:15 at Finger Lakes. Following that, Horseshoe, Indianapolis. Horseshoe, Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10. 11:10 at Horseshoe, Indianapolis. Following that is Louisiana Downs. Now they got thoroughbred racing going on at Louisiana Downs. They got a small pick six jackpot carryover, $9,883. First post time is 2:05, and then we have Penn National, Penn Nat. First post time is 2:45, and we'll wrap up the seven track on the racing menu today with Evangeline Downs. Their first post time at Evangeline Downs is at 10:15, and that is your racing menu for today. And it's a brief racing menu today, but as we roll through the weekend, there'll be 10 tracks on the menu tomorrow, 12 tracks on Friday, and a whopping 18 different racetracks, of course, included in that Pimlico racecourse, will be on Saturday. So we're getting into that summertime schedule where a lot of tracks are starting to race in the summertime. So we'll get that's for sure. Let's bring in Jonathan Hardoon right now. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. The defection of Muth, good or bad from your viewpoint, and who you are going to pick in the Preakness.
Well, it's terrible from my viewpoint. I was going to try to beat him, and these odds are going to be that much less now. I mean, you're talking about taking out the big favorite. The only good news is, I guess, if you want to play against Mystic Den, he'll probably be much shorter now with Muth gone. But, you know, I liked the Chad Brown horse, to be honest with you, Tuscan Gold. He was listed at 8-1. He'll probably be 7-2 now, and that's not good. But maybe they'll go for the other Baffert horse, Imagination. Supposedly he was training well, and I know Baffert was high on him. You got to feel bad for Juan Hernandez. This was going to be his first mount in a Triple Crown race, yeah. And he'll have to wait to fight another day.
Jonathan, you, I know, like the Tuscan Gold, and he's had such a brief racing career. This, I think, will be his fourth race of his lifetime.
Yeah, he's fresh. He's lightly raced. He's doing terrific. Chad Brown is extremely high on him. He was scratched the other day out of the Peter Penn, specifically pointing for this race.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know that that man knows how to circle a day on the calendar for the horses he's training, so we'll wait and see about that. Of course, you'll give us your official pick come Saturday when we go over the Preakness Stakes. There's a lot of great other great stakes races over the weekend at Pimlico. I understand now that the deal has been made where Pimlico Racecourse is going to be transferred to the Maryland State, and the Maryland State is now going to own and operate the racetrack, with the horsemen's, obviously, influences there. And I think they're going to do $200 million to revamp the Pimlico Racecourse, which is finally good news, because we know that Churchill Downs continues to dump millions and millions of dollars to upgrade their racing facility, of course, the first jewel of the Triple Crown. And we know what's going on with Belmont Park, that they're tearing down the entire grandstand and building a new ultra-modern grandstand there, as well as a community around it of other sports and entertainment facility. And really, Pimlico is the one that was still left with the, you know, the marquee event that we have, the Triple Crown, our championship event, where you get to that middle track. And Pimlico Racecourse is, for the most part, a pretty run-down racetrack. But they're going to revamp that as well, so I think that's going to be good. The only thing about that is now, with like I said, you know, we're going to have 15 stakes races over 2 days during this festival they have for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. Six, of course, races on Black Eyed Susan's Day, and of course, 9 stakes races on Preakness Day. But they're going to also revamp a lot of the stakes programs as well, now that it's under state jurisdiction. So we'll have to wait and see if this is a total positive move, not only for the Triple Crown and the Preakness that week, but for Maryland horsemen and Maryland racing overall, because we are seeing, you know, the transformations going on around the country now with Golden Gate. So much that Golden Gate right now has canceled their Friday card again because of lack of entries. You know, people are moving out of Golden Gate because they see the end in sight there. So, you have a little music background there, do you, buddy?
I got a phone call and yeah, I had the phone turned off.
They're probably,
I don't know how that happened.
They're probably telling you that Muth got scratched, but you could tell them you already got that. In any case,
you're a little late to the party.
In any case,
Ralph, I think it's good that Maryland took over the track. I really do, because they're going to put money into it, and I don't know how much the Stronach Group was willing to go down the road. So in the long run, I think it's going to be a big positive for Pimlico.
Yeah, no question about that. And of course, we're watching the changing the transformation of the new type of dynamics they have in California and at other places as well. You and I and many of the other handicappers on this show have talked many times about how the racing, the racetracks, et cetera, are, you know, whittling down to maybe 4 or 5, maybe 10 major racetracks around the country. But I think that's the sign of the times. And if we don't change with the sign of the times, we go by the way of the buggy whip.
Yeah, we have no choice. We're catering to the situation that we have to deal with. It's not good that these racetracks are disappearing, but I think that over the next 5 years, you're going to be, you know, left with like 5 or 6 major tracks. You'll have Gulfstream, you'll have California, you'll have New York, and you'll have Kentucky, and these little tracks are going to go by the wayside, unfortunately.
Well, I think there's a place for them, not as many, I think, as they are now, but there is a place for them. And I know for a fact that with the new technology, I mean, we could place bets at racetracks while we're driving in our car, although I'm not telling anybody to do any texting while you're driving your car. But you know what I'm talking about, technology between the cable, networks that are dedicated to horse racing. You got websites, you got phone apps, et cetera. The game is not dead. It's just changing. I think that was proven by the weekend of the Kentucky Derby when we, you know, broke all handle records, et cetera, and attendance records as well. The game is alive and well. It's just changing and, paring down, I think.
What it really is, Ralph, is there's no reason to have, you know, a track like Belmont that seats 150,000 people. When are they ever going to use it? One day a year in the Belmont Stakes, and if they're lucky enough to get Breeders' Cup Day? So it's ridiculous to have a plant that size. It's sad because the Belmont was one of the most beautiful tracks, you know, ever, in my opinion, and now it's going away. It's getting a lot smaller. They're going to do that with every track. They're going to downsize them. There's no reason to have these big, arenas if you can't fill it up. What's the point? They're still betting because, like you said, they have so many different ways to bet that betting is going to continue. I don't think the betting is going to be hurt. It's just they're going to downsize all these tracks.
However, when you take a look at that other side of the coin, why have a big empty facility there when you don't need it? I think they're going in the right direction in paring it down, making the facility much nicer, making it like, you know, forget about grandstand floor one. You know, it all should be like the clubhouse, et cetera, something like that. Just reward the people who are going to come out to the racetrack with a very nice facility and good dining and all that stuff there. I think that's a better use and complimenting the people who come out to the racetrack. And, you know, on the big days, we all know they put up the corporate tents. They're always hiding. I mean, if you take a look at the races last week at Pimlico, the tents are already up in the infield. You could hardly see the horses going down the backstretch with the pan camera now. But that is, that's going to be the way of the future. When you have a big race day where you know you're going to have many more people at the track live and in person than you do during normal operating procedures and the fact that the track couldn't handle that you go with the corporate tents and have it and make it a big special event day. That's for sure. And of course, it's always,
they're going to have to figure out a way, Ralph, to reward the players that show up every day. There are people that go to the track every single day, and then these big days come and they outprice them and they shut them out. And it's not fair because they're supporting the game the whole year. You know, so to get shut out on those days, it's not fair to them. They have to figure out a way to reward the players that support the game every day.
Point very well taken. For the guys who do show up at the track every day and know that on that big day they got priced out, but they'll be back next Wednesday to watch the first race with the, you know, maybe 11, $10,000 claimers. You have to take care of that nucleus of regular racegoers.
That's the backbone of the game. The $2 bettor is the backbone of the game. It really is. It's, you know, and it's only the right thing to do. A guy supports the game in 364 days a year. Well, you can't shut him out on that other day. It's just not right.
And we try to always do that on this show. The most important people watching our show are the guys out there right now that are those players. That's for sure. We will never forget you. All right.
Never.
Well, let's get started maybe with trying to give him a winner or two.
I didn't do any tracks today. There's nothing today? Wrong.
You can do no tracks today? You don't even have a dartboard there you can throw a dart at? You know,
I'm working on Pimlico Friday and Saturday. So.
Okay, you got it, my man. We'll let you go.
We have a big show Friday and a big show Saturday. We're going to be going over all those races. So, and I'm doing it with John Lindo, who always comes prepared. So I have got to be at the top
of
my game.
So you better be prepared. That's for sure. All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Anything? You have no soapbox today? You're not...
Everything is copacetic.
Yeah, except for your weatherman. Your weatherman is
it
not.
It just doesn't stop raining up here. I hope they get rid of all the rain before Belmont Week up here when they're going to have the Belmont Stakes. It rains every single day. It's crazy.
Now you're up at Saratoga, and we're getting closer to the Belmont Stakes. Is the town kind of getting ginned up, ready for this?
You feel it. You could feel it. You could feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, you drive past the track. There's action going on. Trucks coming in, bringing in horses. So it's getting exciting and should be good. Just let's hope the weather stays, you know, good.
Yeah, let's hope the all the rain get out of there, you know. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We will talk to you tomorrow, and I know you'll have a pick for us tomorrow.
At least one, two. Thank you, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
All righty. That's Jonathan Ardoon. Okay, we continue on the Race Day Show for this Wednesday. Coming up next is Rich Eng, so don't do it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, we continue with our Wednesday Race Day Show, ramping it up for the big Preakness weekend coming up. And now we'll go to Rich Eng standing by and so and Richie at his domicile here in Las Vegas. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. I was listening to your monologue when you first started the show, and I'm thinking to myself, Pimlico can't catch a break. I mean, one, the scratch of Muth, the morning line favorite for the Preakness, and two, listening to your weather report, 85% chance of rain for Saturday. I mean, what are the shoes going to drop?
Well, you know, I could tell you this. I guess, the weathermen, I guess the weather gods are like in favor of Mystic Dan because he went big at Arkansas he ran big in Arkansas in the mud, right?
Yeah. You know, you have to reanalyze the past performances for these horses. And, I think one thing that kind of struck me is the fact that Baffert still has a horse in the Preakness, and it's a very good horse by the name of Imagination.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the Sandy the Derby by an inch or two to Stronghold from Philip D'Amato. But, he's an interesting backup, you know, plan B horse, so to speak, for Baffert that I think is going to be real live too.
Well, you know the old saying, when a trainer has two horses in the race, usually the longer-priced winner is the one you go for. And obviously, with Muth in the race, he was going to be the higher-priced of the two. So maybe we ought to take a stronger look at him.
Yeah, and you got Frankie Dettori riding, and there's nobody riding hotter or better in the country than Frankie Dettori. I hope the son of a gun never retires, Ralph, because if you just back Frankie Dettori, you're going to cash a lot of tickets still.
Yeah, you certainly are. Rich, when we have a race like this coming up and we have a lot of horses in the race that don't have any past performance on an off track, I guess we start leaning towards the breeding, right?
Yeah, you take a look at the pedigree. Quite frankly, you got to dig a little deeper because it's not like the old days, Ralph, when you and I were first starting in horse racing, the racing form would have mud marks on a lot of these horses. I remember the Spanish Riddle was a big, mud sire when I was first starting in horse racing and following it. So those mud marks aren't in the racing form anymore or in BizNet PPs anymore. But you take a look at the pedigrees and see if you can find some common ground on an off track.
Yeah, that mud mark used to be really, really key for those who, you know, got the racing form and saw those mud marks. But I think the racing form now at least shows if the horses have run in the past on off tracks. They got a little, line there to where how they did on an off track, etc. And I know that they have turf breeding ratings for horses as far as the turf is concerned. So, there's a little bit of different way of handicapping now than, the obvious with the mud marks in the past. But there's enough information, I think, out there to make an assessment, good assessment.
Yeah, and, I'll put a lot of faith in the track superintendent at Pimlico that they'll do the best job they can, Ralph, to not only have the main track in good condition, but they've got a lot of turf races on Saturday, too, and a lot of them are stakes. But, one angle in play is the fact that Pimlico's meet is very, very short. So it's not like they have to worry about protecting the turf course for, an elongated season. They're only going to be there for like 2-3 weeks or something like that. But so I think they're going to do everything they can to keep the turf races on, even if it is raining.
Yeah, I think the only way they'll come off the turf is if the ground is unsafe to race over. And I think if they start running on the grass, the jockeys will tell them when they come back if it's the footing is unsafe or not. So. Let's just keep our fingers crossed and maybe the weatherman's not always right.
Yeah, one thing I noticed was today Horseshoe Indiana canceled because they had something like 4 inches of rain overnight.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the system that's making its way from west to east, but Mother Nature can play havoc in a sport that's played outdoors.
So we got a cancellation at Horseshoe Indianapolis today then, right?
Yes, that was that came from the general manager of Horseshoe Indianapolis on Twitter.
Okay, you got it, my man. Well, I didn't get anything out of Jonathan Hardoon, and I know you have a Santa Anita sheet. By the way, you will have extensive coverage, extensive handicapping sheet again for Preakness Day for the Preakness, right?
Yeah, I do it for BrizNet.com. They were so thrilled with the Kentucky Derby report. They've asked me to do the Preakness Day and the Belmont Stakes Day, so I will have an extensive handicap analysis. It'll be available on the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. I've got most of it done, but I'm going to have to go backwards now and redo the Preakness. But it'll be interesting with Muth out. It kind of changes the equation, but it should be ready later tonight, Ralph.
All righty. Well, do we have anything today for the racing fans?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't leave the listeners out there hanging. I got to give them at least one pick on a Wednesday show. Uh-huh. Let's go to Louisiana Downs, Ralph. I haven't looked at the weather forecast or the scratches, but hopefully this remains on the turf at 7.5 furlongs. I love the rail draw for the number one Bradford Baby. This horse coming out of what I consider much tougher turf races at the fairgrounds. This is a lower level of competition going to Louisiana Downs. I think this horse can save all the ground because, one thing about inside post in a race like 7.5 furlongs, 2 turns is short run to the first turn, Rob. You can save all the ground. So let's go with number one, Bradford Baby, race 2, Louisiana Downs.
All right, second race at Louisiana Downs. You like number one, Bradford Baby, the one horse in the second race at Louisiana Downs. And hey, wherever we find winners in cash, that's fine with me. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right. Now, before we get to John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz, so we had a surprise guest show up here for us today, a friend of ours here at the Race Day Show for a long, long time, a gentleman who at one time was the head, the bookmaker, the race book director, race and sports book director over at the Caesar's Palace in the Halcyon days there. And so I asked him to come on, on set and just ask him a few questions about what's up now. I want to welcome to the Race Day Show and for you out there, Lou D'Amico. Lou, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Great to be here with you.
Let's see if we have his mic on. Okay.
Good morning, Ralph. Great to be with you.
Okay. So what brings you to town? Well, I know that you moved to Florida.
Yes, moved to Florida last June. Down there with the grandkids
Oh.
and my son and his wife. Been gone about 10, 11 months now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been back in Vegas now for the last two and a half weeks.
Wow.
And visiting my sister and family and a lot of friends. And kind of miss Vegas a little bit.
Yeah, once it gets in your blood, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've lived in Las Vegas for 48 years, as you know. I've run many a race and sports books, not only at Caesars, but I've worked at the Las Vegas Hilton, mm-hmm. the Stardust, opened up the M Resort. And then I retired, as you know, back in 2009 to watch the grandkids when they were living here. Mm-hmm. And then back in 2019, the company over in the UK, Betfred, was interested in coming to Las Vegas and to America, and they called me and basically helped them get licensed here in Nevada and in nine other states.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2023, I said, well, gee, maybe it's time to go step away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, you know, when you have it in your blood, been doing it for so long, you kind of miss this environment. And
what do you recognize in the industry as it changed? What are the big changes in the industry since the olden days?
And since when, as you and I go back many, many years, Ralph, the industry has changed so much where the brick and mortar race and sports book, people had to come to your property. And that was the big thing with the hotel owners and mm-hmm. the people that were running the casinos at that time. Now the big change is, of course, the betting apps that you have, whether it's sports and race. So that's a big change, and I can certainly understand that. It's an important part of your sports handle, an important part of your race handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with they keep saying, and we've heard it for many, many years, that the race customers have declined, and some have unfortunately passed on, and. Mm-hmm. What does the racing industry do to revitalize, to get new players involved with? Well, I guess the technology is definitely one way of doing it, and with betting apps and race apps.
Well, I can tell you this, that I think it's changing a little, but when I was a kid, they said the same thing. Look at the clientele here. They're so old that when they die off, there will be nothing left of racing. And that's not true, because in fact, if that was the case, the ones that are out there now would be 120 years old, you know, from
because exactly.
I'm 71 now. And I heard that when I was, you know, when I was in my 20s. What I'm saying is, I think it's a sport that cultivates more mature individuals later, maybe in their lifetime to play this great sport. And I do believe that there is, because of technology, I do believe that that will bring in a lot more younger people. The game isn't dead, and we know, we saw that on Derby weekend, et cetera. And we just have to change a little bit with the times. But, catering to the regular racegoers every day, et cetera, is one thing. That's one thing that is being laxed by a lot of other race books, but not here at the South Point. This is the last place that's run the old-fashioned way, and I can tell you, everybody appreciates that.
Oh, without question, Ralph. The South Point does a fantastic job of taking care of their customers, and they've been doing it from day one.
Yeah.
I, you know, the technology, these other major resorts that are here in Las Vegas, and that includes Caesars, the Wynn property, and all the others that are out there, but the South Point knows how to take care of its customers that are loyal to them. From Michael Gaughan, when he owned other properties here, the Barbary Coast,
sure.
You know, so they do it right. They absolutely do it right. And the customers here at the South Point appreciate that. But the technology, you're exactly right. During the the Kentucky Derby, the handle was up,
yeah.
You know, and there's a new breed of customers out there that the racing industry has to grab and, you know, educate them, give them what they, you know, the technology to advance in making wagers. And I think the racing industry will do just fine.
You know, a lot of times will emphasize the betting on horse racing versus betting on sports to a lot of guys. A lot of younger guys are sports bettors. And I used an example the other day on our show. We had six selections on our show from the handicappers. Two of them won. And the total back from a $2 bet was almost $15, you know,
sure.
One paid seven, the other, whatever. But in any case, I made that as an example. I said, if you were to bet the same denomination, let's say $20 mm-hmm. on six football games, all right, you'd have to win at least three to four of them to break even.
To break even, that's okay? right.
Here, you can play the six races at the same denomination, and you would have made money with just two winners.
That is
and
correct.
That's the difference between horse racing and sports. I think if we can emphasize that more to a younger player, you're going to sit there and say, wait a minute, I got a lot better advantage to making more money with horse racing. I ought to take a look at this, and I think that'll work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ralph. You know, when I down in Florida, I watch FanDuel mm-hmm. down there, which is formerly TVG, yeah. and they're trying to make that same connection between the sports bettor and race bettor. You know?
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't bet sports. What I'm saying is there's more value, I think, in horse racing, that's for sure. But in any case, I'm glad to see you're back here. And Lou, everybody out there, if you're looking for a good guy, maybe we can drag you back into the race and sports book industry here somehow or another.
That could be a lot of fun to do again, Ralph. Thank you very much. It's always great seeing you, Ralph.
Well,
thank you.
And this won't be the last time we'll get together.
Absolutely not.
All right, we're going to be right back. And when we get back, we're going to have John Lindo standing by in Southern California, give us his reaction of Muth Scratch. And, of course, Jerry Jackowitz will be along with some, I guess, words of wisdom of playing races. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas to wrap up this Wednesday show as we begin slow, but you know we'll be rolling by the end of the week as we get closer to the Preakness Stakes. Right now, let's go to Southern California where John Lindo is standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Busy morning.
Yeah. Did you have a Richter scale response to Muth Scratch down there?
No, but, you know, it's a tough game, and these things happen. And, you know, the Baffert horse is shipped out yesterday, Tuesday night. The horse moves. He spiked a fever, so he's out of the race. And these things just happen. You know, he'll have a couple other horses running on the card. You already mentioned Imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other horse to keep an eye on Saturday. You know, Ralph, we've always talked about the Beer Money horse.
Yep.
Bob Baffert, when he ships to different areas, we'll usually send a horse to pick up a smaller allowance or something to kind of cover expenses for the trip. And he has Miramati coming back off the layoff in the third race on Saturday at Pimlico. So he might be the Beer Money horse for the Baffert crew on Saturday.
Yes, folks. We don't want you to think that Frank's going to be actually running on the track. It's his namesake, Miramati, that they named a horse after, who was, I thought, a very expensive purchase, wasn't it?
Yeah, I off the top of my head, I think he was $600,000 or something like that. And he is great at stakes place. He comes back against maidens, so he ought to be tough.
And that's a good point to make, too, John, that we know we're concentrating on the black-eyed Susans on Friday. We're concentrating on the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. But there's a whole bunch of great undercard stakes races with a lot of good horses in it and a lot of good opportunities to make some money.
There are six stakes races on Friday, nine stakes races on that card on Saturday. So, yeah, let's hope the weather holds. I would think at the very least they would keep those grass stakes races on the turf. You might see some changes on the undercard to non-stakes races if it does rain as predicted. But a lot of good horses around. And again, we're trying to figure out trainer intent, who's been pointing to these races and who's just throwing some horses in. So got some work to do working on those cards right now.
And we do know that with this 2-week interval, we do get three horses out of the 20 that is going to continue on in the Preakness Stakes. About, of course, the most important one is Mystic Dan, who won the Derby, the only horse eligible to win the Triple Crown this year.
and a couple others. But at the Black Eyed Susan, I understand there's only maybe, I think maybe one horse or two fillies that are in the Black Eyed Susan that ran in the Kentucky Oaks. So you can see that nowadays, and unless you're going for something special like Mystic Dan is, that a lot of horsemen, as soon as the weekend of the Derby and the Oaks are over, they take a little bit of a break with the horses that they've been pointing for those races. And sometimes the Black Eyed Susan and you would suffer. I know the Preakness Stakes is more of a race that is a race that complements and certainly is in favor of new shooters. But, you know, the Black Eyed Susan takes its toll, too.
Well, unless your name is trainer Dwayne Lucas, because he will dance all the dances. Yeah. He has Lemon Muffin coming out of the Kentucky Oaks. She goes right back in the Black Eyed Susan. And Lucas has two horses in the Preakness. One of them sees the gray, won the Pat Day Mile. And then he has Just Steele coming back from the Derby into the Preakness, both on the 2 week rest. So, he's not a guy that's afraid to tee it on up and then take the boys on. So, that's old school. It's nice to see. And, you know, it's worked for him.
John, just a thumbnail thought of how many horses from Southern California have made the shipment over there for the undercard races, et cetera. I know that Phil D'Amato is getting used to sending some horses for the undercard races, et cetera, from California. Were there a lot mentioned that were going or not that many?
There are about a half dozen between the 2 days. Corposo for Peter Erden is in the Black Eyed Susan. We're going to see some horses, like you mentioned. Phil D'Amato will have some horses and Baffert. But to be honest, there is not a lot of Southern California participation, which was why the Preakness was so appealing to guys out in California, being able to see how Muth and Imagination would stack up against those three-year-olds back there. We'll still get one shot. And the scratch of Muth, that makes the pace scenario in the Preakness kind of dicey. There isn't a ton of speed in this race, so I've got to really sit down and see how this race is going to be run.
Yeah, no question about that. There's a new handicapping dynamic now with the Muth out of the race, that's for sure. And, of course, I guess we kind of wish the Preakness Stakes was run in Southern California this weekend because the weather's going to be great there, but I don't know about the weather in Maryland.
Well, if they get some rain there, at least they can still run. If it was raining here in Southern California, we'd have to postpone. So you have that working for you in Baltimore.
Yeah, we have that rain, no mas kind of mentality right now in Southern California, that's for sure. But, and a good sign, too. I understand that Turf Paradise has got a revival there at that racetrack. You're going to get a three-year deal to run races there for at least three more years. Under the guise of the horsemen to put together something there, huh?
Yeah, they got together and, I think Golden Gate being closed in June has had a lot to do with it. They got a lot of participation from some of the Northern California horsemen during this current meet that they just wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And they see a window of opportunity there with no Northern California racing as we know it. You know, the fairs will get going there in October, but we'll see how the fair handle does in Northern California and what the long-term prognosis is there. But in the meantime, you know, Arizona's not a bad place to race in the winter and spring. So they're going to schedule three more years. I think that's a good thing. They're doing some upgrades to the track, which are badly needed. And if they get everything else done, that might be interesting.
Sure will, that's for sure. All right, John, we'll let you get back to work. Southern California ramps up on Friday. And, of course, your Lindo Report will be covering the races at Pimlico, right?
Yeah, tomorrow I've got Churchill Downs on the menu, so I'll be doing a Churchill Downs sheet for Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, Saturday, we'll not only do Santa Anita, but we'll do all the stakes races at Pimlico. Same thing with the stakes card at Pimlico on Saturday, and then just strictly Santa Anita on Sunday.
All right, my man. We'll let you get back to work, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. Now let's go to Jerry Jackowitz. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, now, what words of wisdom do you have for us today?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about handicapping and why it's important to use more than one tip sheet or a power page or something, like some combination of that, if you don't mind. Is that all right?
Yeah, certainly. You got 2 minutes to do it, buddy.
Okay, well, let's say you're using a John Lindo sheet or Richie Yang sheet or Jonathan Hardoon sheet, and you look at a horse, but you also should have your racing form or your Brisnet racing form or your Equibase racing form, where you have your past performances. And you should try and understand why John has selected a particular horse. And that'll give you one person's view, John Ritchie or John, one person's view of the horse. And maybe you can look at the racing form and get a sense of what they see in it. Then if you have another tip sheet or a power page, or you can look at that and get yet another view of that same race from another trusted, valued handicapper slash speed figure maker. And you can start to compare your idea with the understanding of what say John Ritchie or John's idea is, and then you could use the power page, which is a little more neutral, and see if there's an alert or an indicator on that that confirms either yours or the handicapper's idea or both of them, or disagrees entirely. And then you can look at the odds board.
Yeah.
And when you look at the odds board, you get a certain truth about unknown factors. And it's putting this together that can make you actually a really good handicapper. The people who sit there and go, oh, I don't want to confuse myself because I'm going to use somebody. Those are people that are only getting about a third of the picture, and they're really never going to make the grade. They're just cheating themselves because they're afraid to encounter someone else's opinion. People like John Ritchie, Jonathan Hardoon, myself, and many others, we work very hard. And one of our greatest rewards is just simply doing a good job for other people. For whatever reason, that's our makeup. And we really sweat and worry about it, and we bring a lot of knowledge. And I learned this a long time ago with the Beard Sheet and with a number of other guys who are the Wizard, all these guys who really do a first-rate job and bring a world of information to their handicapping that you're probably not even going to get close to.
Jerry,
if you're good enough to be close to us, you'll want to use us.
And Jerry, I know that for a fact, that you guys do work hard. And the thing about it is you do play what you say. And that's an important part, too. I'd like to see a guy getting into his hip pocket and putting a little money on the things that they suggest as well. So that was a good segment there. I'm glad you did that, because I have a lot of respect for all of the handicappers on this show, because I know you guys do the work and play your plays. That's for sure. We'll wrap up this Wednesday show by thanking Lou D'Amico and all our handicappers today. And we're just getting started for the week. This is Preakness Week. Go ahead and say it, Jerry. One more. Quick.
Have a great race day, everybody.